What If I Get Sick or Something podcast, real easy. You can get on there and you can listen to the sermon. So great opportunity. We've been talking about the one another's. How can I get involved? How can I be a part of what God's doing? This is a great way. This is not just the small group scenario is great. You have a curriculum, but this is taking what God speaks to us as a body, as a church, and taking it further, kind of massaging it in a little deeper. How can we put some skin on it? And how can we live it out? So get involved. You can do this. You can do this. We've had leaders and hosts and pilot groups, and the worry and concern was, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I have what it takes. If you have a house and if you can breathe, you qualify. You can do this. And you get together, you'll be amazed just what comes out of the midst of that. Now, in this series that we're doing on the One Another's, people have been asking, when is this, how long is this series? It's 8 weeks. We've got two more left this week and next week. And today I want to talk to you about forgiving one another. Next week I want to talk to you about restoring one another. Because after we've looked at all the one another's, it means nothing if we don't learn how to restore somebody else, how to restore ourselves, because we all mess up, don't we? Or is it just me, or do you ever make a mistake? If you don't raise your hand, you just made a mistake. Yeah, because we all have those times. So if you're like me, I mess up, and then I say, God's done with me. How could he ever love me? And I think the mistake is a lot of people say, yeah, but when you as a pastor say you mess up, your mess ups are like just kind of little mess ups, aren't they? No, I do the grand poobah ones too, okay? And I'm just like you. And God says that he loves, he encourages, he forgives, and he desires to restore. Why? So that we can encourage, edify, love, forgive, and restore. So I want to talk to you about forgiving one another, and I'm going to take a little bit of a different slant. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to look there. This is in your outlines as well. If you don't have an outline, it's in your bulletin. You can follow along with. Somebody had once said to me, can you put two in there? Because my husband and I both want one. Well, you know what? If you ever want one of these, there's extras at the door when you walk in now. So you can grab one of those if for any reason you need that. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And then we're going to be going over to Matthew chapter 6, learning about forgiveness. Now, it's an interesting portion of Scripture because what's happening here is he's addressing the church and says to them in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Now, if you're like me, when I read that scripture, I kind of, you know, yada, 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 yep, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. It says, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Here we are. Whoever has a complaint, ever have a complaint? Have you ever complained? Have you ever had anyone complain against you? And he says, a complaint against anyone, not just some people. Sometimes it's easier to forgive certain people, isn't it? I can forgive them because I don't have to ever see them again. But what about if it's in your family? Does it now change? Does God's definition of forgiveness change? Because I got to live with them. And God didn't understand this when he wrote that. No, he understood that. He said, forgive everyone, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you. Now, forgiveness is interesting. You know, it's kind of like, if I can think of it this way, how many of you have dogs? You have dogs at your house, okay. Do you put them outside on a leash? You ever stick them on a leash? Well, the reason you put them on a leash is so you can keep them in a certain vicinity so they don't go taking off and running around. But the problem is the dog doesn't understand. The dog has a collar around its neck, and it's attached to a chain that's stuck in a ground, so no matter how far they try to get away, they can't get away from where they want to get away from because of this chain. I had a dog named Simba. Simba was one of the dumbest dogs I've ever had, okay? Cute, but dumb. Just lived for itself, which is the definition of a dog, basically. And my mom and dad at the time lived at a house that had the driveway, had a cliff, okay? And this cliff was there. Now, when I put the dog, I don't know who put the dog on the chain, but somebody put the dog on the chain. What we did not calculate was that that chain goes probably about 5 feet over that cliff. You can see where I'm going with this, can't you? And the dog, I come home, or I come over to their house, only to see my mom and my wife and my kid, and here's my dog dangling over the cliff, hanging by the chain, and they're jerking the thing up. And I thought, what is going on? You know, because there's times I've dreamt about doing that to the dog. You know, we found out, obviously, that wasn't a smart place to put the chain. The dog wasn't very bright. But the dog was trying to get away and could not get away because of the chain that it was tethered to. And I couldn't help but think about how when we don't forgive, it can be the same way. It's a leash that's tethered to us. It's around our necks. We want to get away from it. We don't want to deal with it, really, is what it is. So we try to get away only to get the chain yanked back. And we're reminded of all the things that we've done wrong. You try to break free from sin or whatever it is, and the enemy just kind of yanks that back. And we want to know how to break free from that chain. And one of the keys, as we'll find out today, is learning about unforgiveness. Now, I don't want to just talk this morning about you need to forgive and you need to be forgiven. But really, that's the core of it. It boils down to that. But how do you live that out? How do you kind of put some skin on that? You see, some of us are unable to break free because we've been collared to something that limits our movements. And the length of the chain or the leash, it can involve anger, it can involve bitterness, resentment, wrath, revenge, the list goes on and on and on. And all of these links hook to a collar called unforgiveness. When somebody's hurt you or done you wrong, and it angers you, and you get embittered, and hate, and rage, and revenge start to just kick up in your heart, it's the leash that's building that chain called unforgiveness. Because if we could learn to unforgive, it would set us free from all of those links that try to hold us hostage. This collar that's hooked to the chain can tend to own you when it's around your neck. Days, months, years, decades, one thing's for certain, you're not able to get free, and you don't know what to do. You know, there was a guy who went through and saw a button in a tourist shop, and it said this, to error is human, but to forgive, that's not going to happen. You ever feel that way some days? One guy told his boss said, I want you to go around, I want you to encourage everybody, and I want you to tell everyone, wish him a happy new year. And this one guy had an enemy he didn't like, and he walked up and he said, I wish you a happy new year. He said, but only one. Because he was so embittered. He was so angry. Now, I can tell you that story, and you can say, oh, that's kind of harsh. But don't tell me you haven't thoughts like that. Because we all have it sometime. We all get angry, and we may feel bad about the thought that we have, but it doesn't change the fact that we had the thought, and the thought is just reflecting what's in the heart. So how do we get free from that chain? Because some of us here have been chained. Somebody's done something wrong to us, and we feel like we can't break free. We can't forgive them, because if we forgive them, then they'll never be reminded of the wrong they did, and it's my job to remind them. No, it's not. Some of us have been seeking forgiveness and feel like nobody's extended that, but as we'll learn, forgiveness has less to do. Now, it involves the person that's either been offended or that is you've offended, but it has to do with the heart of God and what he has to say here. Colossians 3:13 said that we are to forgive each other. We're to forgive each other. Now, if I were to give a definition of forgiveness, I kind of just thrown it in there on your outlines. It says to release a person from a debt or an obligation that has been incurred. That's what forgiveness is. It's to, and the key word is, release. Let go. Set free. We are to release a person from a debt or an obligation. And you see, it's a choice to release a person from a wrong that was committed against you. Have you ever had anybody do something wrong against you? And then they come and they say, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. How refreshing that is. And you can tend to want to forgive just because they cared enough to recognize it, see it, and then come and do something about it. But what about the people that have wronged you and don't care to see your face again? They don't want to hear your voice, and you don't want to hear theirs. What do you do then? Because then I don't have an opportunity, do I? Or do I? You see, forgiveness is huge. It's a choice that you and I make. Now, forgiveness does not mean that we approve the wrong that was done, okay? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you can excuse your actions or theirs. It doesn't mean that you justify anything. It doesn't mean that you pretend it doesn't hurt. Because when somebody's wronged you and they've hurt you, it hurts, doesn't it? Pain is real. How many people, if I put a sign-up sheet out and said sign up and for a painful life, how many of you would sign up? Nobody. Because we don't want to live that life. You see, it's not pressing it down. Forgiveness is not shoving it down and pretending like something's not real. It's releasing by choice. Somebody from an obligation or something, from an obligation that has incurred to you because of wrong that was done. So everybody here has been on both sides of the equation. We've either needed to be forgiven or we need to forgive. One of the two. Do you agree with that? Okay. All right. No matter who you are, we've all been in this place where we've needed forgiveness. And we're going to learn that this is a key for relationships right here, because I want to talk to you about what forgiveness is and kind of try to put some skin on it, so to speak, and not just let it be some kind of a, my attempt is not to be just fluffy and say, you know, the Bible says forgive, so we should all do it, okay? Can we do that? That's good, that's right, but how? What is it that we need to know about forgiveness that maybe Jesus knew and put in his word that we can take and apply? What does forgiveness mean? Number one, write this down in your outlines. You'll find out that forgiveness does not necessarily mean reconciliation. Okay? We've got to learn this principle right here, because some of us are choosing not to forgive because we think that if we forgive, that means we have to get along with the person that has wronged us. And the Bible never says that. Now, is the goal reconciliation? Yes. That is what God would love for each and every one of us, because we become healthier and stronger with one another. But he also knows this. He knows that there's going to be some people in your life, and there's going to be some situations that will take place where maybe reconciliation is going to be impossible. So does that mean I shouldn't forgive? Absolutely not. You see, those two are separate things. You can forgive people with whom you are not yet reconciled. Forgiveness, whether reconciliation occurs or not, it's the decision to set the offended party free. The party that has done wrong against you, whether or not you ever hook up again or whether or not you ever become friends again, that's irrelevant at this point, because it starts with forgiveness. But we have to remember, forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean reconciliation. I remember talking to a young person who said, I said, you need to forgive, because this anger and this bitterness and this lack of being willing to forgive, it's like a cancer inside of you. And it's eating you up. And it's not only going to destroy what is, it's going to destroy what will be. And they said, I just don't think I can do it. And I said, why not? And they said, because if I forgive them, then who's going to make sure that they get punished? Who's going to make sure that they're taken care of? Now you know the general answer. Well, you got to trust that to God. But applying that is the hard part, when you're the one that's hurt, when you're the one that's been offended. You see, God says the goal is reconciliation, but you've got to start with forgiveness. I'd encourage this person, forgiveness, this forgiveness that you extend has less to do with them and more to do with you, and it's the same for us today. When we learn to forgive in a biblical way, we're not forgiving so that we can set somebody else off the hook so they can go do it again. No, we're forgiving and setting them off the hook so that we can understand what it means to be forgiven, so that we can start to become healthy and strong, once again, strong in our walk with Christ. But don't think that forgiveness necessarily means reconciliation. Reconciliation does not determine whether forgiveness does or does not happen. Don't make the two equal. They're separate. One may lead to the other, but one is not like the other. Because forgiveness assumes that a wrong has taken place. But here's another thing about forgiveness. Number two, write this down. Forgiveness can be unilateral. Unilateral. What do you mean by that? Well, it's very interesting, because forgiveness will come in a few different forms. One of them is forgiveness can be unilateral. One way, in other words. Forgiving people who have not asked you to forgive them. A lot of people here today, I believe, are held hostage, and they're waiting for somebody to say two words. They're waiting for them to say, I'm sorry. But if they never say those two words, and if they never say, I'm sorry, and you don't forgive, then you and I will be the ones held hostage by what they do or do not do. Do you understand that? Some of us are waiting. As soon as they say they're sorry, I'll forgive them. But until then, until I see a pig fly, or I see hell freeze over, you know, all the other sayings that we come up with, I'm not budging. Guess who's got the problem? Not the person who offended you. You. You're the problem. I'm the problem when I do one of these. And what happens is I'm the one that's held hostage when I say, as soon as they say they're sorry, I'll forgive them. So if really the only reason I'm not forgiving them is because I want to hear two words, how stubborn am I? And I can be pretty stubborn, by the way, when I need to be. And I'm the one that's held hostage. But the problem is if that person never says, I'm sorry, then I will be stuck in that realm forever, and I'll never understand what that freedom's all about. Acts 7, verse 60 says this. It says, I did put it in your outline there. And falling to his knees, this is Stephen in the Bible, okay? Stephen is about to get stoned. Not like, stone, but like with big rocks, okay? Stone, they're going to take his life. He falls to his knees and he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. In other words, unilateral forgiveness. These guys didn't get big rocks and say, dude, I hate to do this, so please forgive me. They didn't ask for forgiveness. They just walloped that guy in the head and started throwing rocks at him. And while he was being stoned, it says that he cried out and said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Unilateral forgiveness. He says, this is a one-way thing. I'm extending forgiveness to them. They don't get it. They don't know what they're doing. They don't even know why they're doing it. All they know is that they're doing it, and they really don't care about anything else. But he chose to forgive. You see, if you're waiting to feel like forgiving, you're going to be waiting a long time. But if you choose to forgive, you will be amazed how quickly you will feel forgiven and be able to walk in the presence of where God is leading. Jesus understood this, and that's why he said, Luke 23:34 there says that Jesus was saying, Father, this is him on the cross. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Unilateral forgiveness. God gave that to us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't ask for it. We didn't pay for it. We didn't do anything. God said before any of us were even born, he said, I know that you're going to need forgiveness. I'm going to need it. He said, so I'm paying that price and I'm giving that on the cross. Unilateral forgiveness. You know, unilateral forgiveness can be forgiving someone who maybe you're unable to ask forgiveness from. Maybe they can't ask you for that forgiveness. Like someone who's been abused or maybe, and now they're dead. It's now impossible maybe for that person to ask for forgiveness because they're dead. But if you're still holding on to something, if you're still embracing this hurt in your heart, then you're going to be held hostage for the rest of your life. Because if you're waiting for a request, you'll be waiting because that request will never come. That's why we have to understand unilateral forgiveness. Choosing to forgive even if the party that offended us is no longer in the picture. Maybe it's a person who's hurt you and wronged you, but you don't know where they're at any longer. You don't know if they're alive. You don't know if they're dead. You don't know where they're living. You don't know how to get a hold of them. And you may say, well, then I can't forgive them. Yes, you can. It's a choice that you can make. Well, how can I have the strength to do that? Through the Holy Spirit, because not only did Jesus do that on the cross, but he obviously gave that same kind of heart of forgiveness to those in the Bible, like Stephen, so that they could forgive. We have to choose, though, unilateral forgiveness. That's what it's all about. That's what Jesus did on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness was granted. Number three, write this down. Forgiveness can be transactional. Forgiveness can be transactional. This is what happens when it comes when a person has confessed and they've repented for the wrong that they did against you. There's a transaction that has now occurred, okay? So in other words, it's a two-way road. 1 John 1:9 tells us something about this. Read it with me, will you? Is it up there? 1 John 1:9. Ready? Go. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a two-way road right there. He said, if we will come now, he said, there's unilateral. Christ paid that price, and he says, you have the same strength to forgive somebody who's wronged you or hurt you. You've been abused. You've been hurt. You've been cut down. You've been molested. You've been whatever you want to throw in there. You do have the ability to forgive. But you have to let the Holy Spirit bring you to that place and walk you through that. It's not something you can do on your own, but he says, then there's transactional. We come and we confess our sins and we say, God, forgive us for the sins that we've committed. Please forgive us. And he says, hey, I'm faithful and righteous. I will forgive you. A transaction has now occurred. It's kind of like when I know I did one or two wrong things when I was a kid, maybe three. And I remember at times when I'd have to come and say I was sorry for that. But I remember a lot of times I tried to avoid it. I ran from it. I tried to get around it. But as I started to grow, I realized it's much harder to own up to my mistakes and to say I'm sorry, but it was the quickest way for me to feel better about me. You know what I mean? My son, he's one of the most brutally honest kids I know, and I love it as a parent, but I wish I had that as a kid. And I've told him, I said, Seth, you are one of the most honest kids. I said, are you the one that set the turtle on fire or something like that, you know? He didn't set a turtle on fire. I'm just making that up. But let's say it's just something heinous and just weird like that. Seth, did you do that? Well, you know, I was just walking through. Seth, I'm not worried as much about what happened. What I'm more worried about is you being honest. Yes, Dad, I'm the one that did it. I'd be like, dang, how can he be so honest? I was never that good at that. And then he learned two words. He said, Dad, I'm sorry. And then he said, do you forgive me? I said, absolutely, I forgive you, Seth. Do you know how much our Father God wants to be able to say, hey, did you set the turtle on fire? Are you the one that brought the offense? Are you the one that hurt somebody else? Are you the one that's hurt right now and not choosing to forgive? And you say, yeah, that's me. I'm sorry. And we learn what it means to go to others and seek out that forgiveness. You see, transactional forgiveness is when somebody's come and they've requested forgiveness. They've demonstrated repentance, that they're sorry. They said the words, they followed it up by their actions, and it now opens up the door to reconciliation, okay? Remember, they're separate, but a transactional forgiveness will open the door to reconciliation. It doesn't mean that when you forgive, you now have to be reconciled. It just can lead to that. So reconciliation can occur when there's been a transactional forgiveness that's taken place. Are you with me so far? Yes? Okay. All right. Because trust me, when I was going through this, I lost myself a couple times. When there's no transactional forgiveness, two-way road, and it's merely unilateral, just a one-way forgiveness, then reconciliation is difficult, if not impossible, because the other person's either not there or they're unaware of what's going on. You see, God comes to us and offers us both unilateral and transactional forgiveness. He paid the price on the cross to cover our sins. And that was unilateral, but transactional because he says if we come and confess our sins and we repent, he's offering a transaction by leading us into the presence of the Father. So forgiveness is releasing a debt, whether unilaterally or transactionally, but the transactional forgiveness gives a higher potential to reconciliation. You know, there's a friend of mine who had a car that got hit. You ever have somebody ding your car and put a dent in it? And he found out that when he got dinged in the fender and got the dent in the car, the person that dinged his car had no insurance. Now, that doesn't make you very happy as the car owner, because now the person that dinged his car was unable to fix the ding that he put in the car. So he continued to drive around with this ding in his car. He kept driving. But here's the problem. Every time he got out of that car and he saw that ding in his car, you know what he thought? That miserable, sorry little twerp put that ding in my car. And he can't even fix the ding he put in there. And he was getting mad, whatever. He'd walk away. He'd show up to get in his car. Look at that. I mean, it just sticks out like a sore thumb. Every time he would see this dent in his car, there was something that just churned inside of him because somebody else offended this and somebody else did this to his car. I didn't do this to my car. It's bad enough when I put my own dents in my car, but somebody else did it, and they don't even have the ability to fix the dent that they put in my car. I believe there's a lot of us that are walking around today in our souls with dents in our souls. People have hurt us. People have wronged us. People have offended us. But we're not to live in that arena. We're not to live with those dents and dings in our souls because we have the ability to do something about it. You see, nobody likes to have a ding put in their car. The person that did it can't fix it, so I have to pay to restore this car, this fender, this dent. I shouldn't have to pay this. This shouldn't be coming out of my pocket. They should burn for this. And we start getting angrier and angrier. But you see, if we would just fix the dent, we'd forget about it. Oh, yeah, I remember there was a dent in my car, but it's been fixed. Aren't you mad about the guy that hit your car? Yes, but it's been fixed. It's all right. 2 months, 3 months go by, and all of a sudden you're able to kind of let that go. Why? Because the ding has been fixed. Some of us have the abilities to fix the ding in our souls. We're just unwilling to. We want to drive around showing everybody our dent. We want everybody to see. Did you see what they did to me? Did you hear how they hurt me? Did you hear what they said? They did this to me. Yeah, look at that. That's got to be like a 5-inch dent in my soul. I want you to do something to fix that. Well, because I'm not done using it. It's what it boils down to a lot of times. You see, forgiveness has to start with a choice. And some of us don't choose forgiveness because we're working the dent in our soul and using it to our advantage when that's never been biblical. It's never something that God honors and nothing that God blesses. He says that we have to come to a place where we are willing to make a transaction and forgive and be forgiven. Forgiveness is releasing someone from an obligation because of an offense against you. Number four, write this down. Forgiveness is made possible when you recognize how much you've been forgiven. Oh, how we lose sight of that. When somebody makes me mad or they do something wrong against me, I'm ready to just chew them up one side and down the other, and then the Holy Spirit says, hey, you remember when you did that? I'm like, I don't want to remember that. We're dealing with them. And he says, well, the way I dealt with you is the same way you're supposed to deal with them. And I go, oh, I don't want to. I want to take care of this. I'll go take care of it in my own wisdom and strength, and then I'll just come back to you and ask for forgiveness. How's that, God? He doesn't go for that, does he? He said, no. He says, you know what? You will be able to forgive Jim a lot better if you remember the things that you've been forgiven for. And that's so true. That is so true. I think I know all the things I did. If I could take and plug into your brain right now, and we could flash up onto these two big screens right here, all of your mistakes from the past and all your thoughts, maybe just even from the last week, how many of you would love that? Nobody would like that, because we don't want that to be known, because, oh man, I'm so ashamed of what I did in the past. But God says, don't live in shame. Live in the freedom of forgiveness. So if I've forgiven you, then you need to extend that same kind of forgiveness to others. Verses 13, the second half of Colossians 3 there, says, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also you should forgive that way. You see, what makes it possible to forgive is recognizing that you and I have already been forgiven of so much. And remember this, a little nugget I threw down in the bulletin there for you is this. To refuse to forgive is to burn a bridge over which you yourself must cross. To refuse to forgive, I'm not going to forgive them. You are burning a bridge that you will once again have to cross over. So when you come to that bridge and it's been burned, you'll know why. It's not because God's not good all the time and all the time God is good. It's not because of somebody done me wrong song. It's because you burned the bridge. And we've done that before, haven't we? And God just says, hey, I want to remind you of this, that when you forgive others, which you are to do, remember, it will be much easier to forgive them when you do it in light of how I've forgiven you. Do you have somebody hard and difficult that you need to forgive in your life? Maybe that person is you. Maybe the person is forgiving yourself. You can go back and say, well, this is where I was, but I know God brought me to where I'm at. And if it's even you, then use that and say, okay, this is where I was, but God was faithful to bring me here, so I know that God can be faithful to bring me to the next level. Maybe you need to forgive somebody else, whether unilateral or transactional. Know this, that God forgave you so much, you take that and say, with that same forgiveness you extended to me, I can forgive them with that kind of love, and I can forgive them with that kind of forgiveness, then extend it. But to refuse to forgive is to simply burn a bridge that you and I are both going to have to cross over. I believe there's some people here today that are held hostage by unforgiveness because of what happened to you, how it happened to you, who did it. The collar is around your neck, and every time you try to break free, the devil just yanks it back and reminds you of all the mistakes you've made. You see, God wants us to be set free from that. I've shared this story before, but it makes my point, and I love it. Johnny and Sally were at Grandpa's house. And Johnny got out there with Grandpa's new slingshot and wanted to play with it. And so he took aim with the first stone he got. Whew, he let that rock go. And it hit a duck in the head. Bam! And the duck fell over dead. And this was Grandpa's favorite ducks. He loved these ducks. And now he's feeling horrible because the duck is dead. He picks up the duck. He takes it behind the barn, hides it, throws some leaves over the duck, walks back in the house, eyes wide open, only to run into his sister, Sally. You got to love them sisters, right? And she said, I saw what you did, Johnny. And he goes, don't tell Grandpa. He loves that duck. I didn't mean to kill the duck. And she said, I won't tell Grandpa if you do what I say. That night they were at the dinner table and they're eating. And Grandma gets up and says, Sally, why don't you come help me with the dishes? And Sally said, oh, Johnny was just telling me this morning how much he would love to do dishes, Grandma. Right, Johnny? Johnny said, yeah, Grandma, I would love to, I'd love to do some dishes. So he got up and he did the dishes, and time went on, and they had some dessert that night, and Grandma said, Sally, why don't you come in here and help me clean up the kitchen and tidy it up? Oh, Grandma, Johnny just told me while you're in the other room that he was hoping he'd get a chance to help you clean up this house. Weren't you saying that, Johnny? And Johnny said, yeah, I was saying that. And he started to feel this weight and this burden of, oh my gosh, I am stuck and I am held hostage. Is she ever going to let me go? And this went on for a week. And finally, Johnny, all distraught and dismayed, couldn't handle it anymore. And he walked up and he said, Grandpa, he said, I can't stand it anymore. He goes, I killed your duck. I pulled the slingshot back. I let the stone go. I hit the duck in the head. It fell a quack, you know, in leaves. And I didn't mean to do it. And Grandpa said, I know. I saw you do it. And Johnny said, what? Grandpa said, what? You saw it? He said, yes. He goes, I saw what happened. I saw you kill the duck. I saw you bury the duck. But Grandpa, why didn't you say anything? He said, because I wanted to see how long you were going to let your sister hold you hostage over this little situation. Do you know, some of us are busy trying to hide, and we're doing, you know, shuffling things around, trying to make it appear as if nothing's wrong, there's no pain, there's no hurt. God sees it all. You know, the Bible says this, Matthew chapter 6. I told you to kind of put your finger there. We're going to go over there now. Matthew 6:14, the Lord's Prayer. Is a great prayer, but there's a tagline at the end of it that we sometimes forget. You know, thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever, amen. But it says right after that, in verse 14, Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Uh-oh. I thought we did the Lord's Prayer, said amen, and we were done. Where'd these two verses come from? Well, they came out of the Bible, and it's something that God says. He says, if you're refusing to forgive, then you and God, you're not on the same page. Well, you don't know how much they hurt me. You don't know how bad it was. No, I don't, but I know God forgave them. And if you're choosing not to forgive them, then you are not, and I am not, on the same page that God is on. We are to be a people that forgive and learn what it means to apply that. Number five. How can we do that? Well, you learn this, that when you start forgiving, you learn that forgiveness is functioning in the supernatural. Did you know that? It's functioning in the supernatural because we don't have the ability to forgive, really. We have the ability to forgive, choose the words. We have the ability to say it. We have the ability to mean it, but it means nothing unless the presence of the Holy Spirit is in the midst of it. So, he says this, when you forgive, you just crossed over to the supernatural because you're coming into the realm of the Holy Spirit and what He does best. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, we read this a couple weeks ago, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, all that stuff, and forgive one another. If you don't, you grieve the Holy Spirit. So, to grieve the Holy Spirit means the Holy Spirit is sad within you. You remember this a couple weeks ago? To be sad. So, how do you know if He's sad within you? Well, the Holy Spirit's sad because you can see it come out in your words that you use, in the vocabulary that you have. It's because He's sad, He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So how do you know when He's sad? It's when you're walking around bitter. It's when you want to be a forgiving person but still haven't chose it yet. And you can tell because of the words that come out of your mouth. You're walking around going, saying, I'm going to get you. What comes around goes around. You better watch your back. You see, when you start talking like that, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're not choosing to forgive. You're not choosing to walk within the forgiveness that God gives to you and me. So what are we supposed to do? Well, in the Bible, I think one of the greatest stories, and I'm just going to refer to it, is a man named Joseph. In the Bible, you remember Joseph? Joseph went through a lot. He was kind of the favorite in the family. His brothers sold him into slavery. He was put in prison. But all of a sudden, he rises to the palace. There's a famine in the land, and his brothers show up. We need food. They don't recognize that it's their little brother, Joseph. And all of a sudden, Joseph looks at him, and he says something to them in Genesis 45:4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, he said, please come close to me. You see, what forgiveness means is this. It means we must come closer to Christ. If we're going to walk in forgiveness, we have to come closer to Him. Joseph said these words to his brothers. Why? He could have been saying, come a little closer, like within swinging distance. He said, come a little closer so I can see the pain in your eyes when I say we're going to execute you. No, he didn't do that. He didn't say I'm going to get you. He didn't say don't be afraid. He said, come near to me. And that makes all the difference in the world. And it just blows my mind because he tells his brothers this. God orchestrated this. He said, not the pain, not the slavery, all just the outcome. God orchestrated this. Joseph was a man that understood forgiveness. He understood what it meant not to just wish for it, pray for it, hope for it, want it. He knew what it meant to walk in it. And so are we to walk in that. Because if we don't, we're going to miss out on the best that God has. So forgiveness means that we have to come closer to Him. If you want to experience forgiveness in your heart and your life, don't think you can do it while you're out in left field. You got to come close. You got to come closer to Christ and watch what God will do. You may say, well, what about the pain though? And I'm going to close with this one. What about the pain? Because it still hurts. God tells me to forgive, and I can say, you know, I forgive you, but it still hurts. What am I supposed to do with all of that? Well, we've got to remember, number 7, write this down. As long as you hold on to it, unforgiveness, the pain will never go away. The pain will never go away. I would venture to guess that there's people here today that are going through pain, and you've been looking for a way to get out of the pain. You've tried a lot of things. You've tried to self-medicate. You've tried to do over-the-counter, but now it's time to go to the great physician because he's the only one that can heal. He's the only one that can deliver. And he says that we are to forgive. And some of us have not gone to him because we know that he's going to say that. We know that God's going to say, if you want to experience my joy, my healing, my health, my direction, forgive one another. And that's why we hesitate to go there. You know, you remember these old churches with the big bells on them and there'd be a rope that would be tied to it and you could start pulling that rope and the bells would start clanging. You know what I'm talking about? You know, just some guy's just pulling on that rope, just clanging the bells, clanging the bells, clanging. I mean, he's getting into it. He's even getting some air when the rope goes up. He's got everything into it. He's just ringing them bells like crazy. They're clanging back and forth. You see, when he lets go of that rope, do the bells stop clanging immediately? Absolutely not. When you let go of that rope, the bells don't just stop ringing because you were swinging that rope and you were swinging it hard. And when you let go of the rope, it kept on swinging for a while. You know, the longer you keep your hand off of the rope, the smaller the swing starts to get. All of a sudden, those bells are going ding, ding, and then you let go of the rope, ding, 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 and the bells start to die down. What makes all the difference in the world is when you let go of the rope. If you want to experience a pain-free life, God says, let go of the rope. Let go of it. Quit swinging the rope. Quit ringing the bells. Quit telling everybody how much you hurt. Quit singing everybody done me wrong songs. And start letting go of the rope. Because if you want to experience a pain-free life in the area of forgiveness, yes, there's still pains that happen. There's hurts that happen. There's wrongs that cross our path. But you know what I'm talking about. That part of your heart, that slice that's infected, and it's just diseased and decaying because of the pain of the past. God says, I can heal that, but you got to let go of the rope. Quit singing your song and start singing mine. Quit speaking your words and start sharing my words. Quit listening to yourself and start listening to me. And it will change everything about it. But we have to be able to be willing to let go of the rope. 1 Corinthians 13:50 says, love keeps no record of wrongs. You know why we keep, the only reason we keep records? It's to refer to them when needed. To refer to them when needed. There's somebody in your life that you need to forgive, even if that somebody is you. We need to do it because you may be walking around not having forgiven yourself for something you've done, and that bitterness sets in. He says, forgive one another. Father, I thank you today for your word, and I thank you for your spirit. I pray today for those that are here, Lord God, and we've been ringing the bells. We've been singing our song. We've been crying out and saying, woe is me. Lord, today, can we have a different song? Can we get a different selection? Lord, may we start singing, how great is our God? May we start singing, how great thou art? May we start asking and seeing in our lives, not just a functioning of our pain and hurt, but the Lord, there would be a healing in the midst of that. And I simply want to ask this. The words that have been spoken today, for some of us, have settled in our hearts because we know what it means to hurt. We know what it means to go through seasons where pain, it's like paper cuts. You know, they hurt. They sting the worst, but they don't show up the most, but yet it leaves scar tissue behind to the point where we're all of a sudden in pain and we don't know what to do. Today, God wants to set you free and bring healing to your heart. God has a way that he can take away that pain and he can bring a fresh new breath of your spirit to your life. Are you here today and you've been walking around with that pain and you want to see that freedom in your life? I'm simply going to ask you this. If that's you, just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with Christ or if you're walking with him right now. He says that when you come and choose to walk with me, I can bring a healing and a wholeness in your life. Maybe you're struggling with forgiveness. You don't know how to forgive. You don't think you want to forgive, or maybe you want to know that you can. It's just been a struggle. If that's you, just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need you to pray for me. I need to surrender that to Christ. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. Know today that he gives you more strength than you'll ever know that you need so that you can accomplish his will in your life. I agree with you, my brother. God sees your hand and your heart. You walk in that and understand that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That freedom that he gives is not a freedom to just say, it's all good now, even though it is. It's that it's all good because of him that's within you. And you can walk in the freedom of that spirit. Is there any of the hearts here this morning? Wait for just a moment. Well then, Lord, I pray today that as we walk out of this room, that, Lord, we walk knowing that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And as we walk, we are a forgiving people. Teach us what that means, I pray. I ask and pray in your name. Amen. Those that are helping to serve communion at this time, if you come forward, how appropriate to come to the table and do this in remembrance of God, the price that he paid, talking about the unilateral forgiveness that God gives. He paid a price that we could not pay so that we could understand what it means to be not only forgiven, but to be a forgiving people. So as we prepare to take this communion, I want to ask you in your hearts, just in the quietness and the stillness of your heart, those areas where you know that you need that work. Let God do that greater work inside of you. Mary, would you pray for us? Would you go ahead and pray for us?
Father, we just are so glad to come to the table this morning.
Must be as you will it.
This is my body.
Oh, how could it be that my God would welcome me into this mystery? Say, take this bread, take this wine, now the sample made divine for any to receive. By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful.
This is my blood.
Lord, we remember you. And remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you.
Thank you.
price you paid. May we partake together?
The Holy Spirit
Jesus
can do with you all whatever you want. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation.
By your grace, you
peace be with you. Also, you know the way to where I'm going.
As we leave today, know this.
No going you
will
way.
Have many opportunities.
I am the way.
But practice today's message. Today's probably going to be one of the toughest.
That's true.
Because it means you have to get beyond yourself.
And the life.
When you see that doorway, walk. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you tonight at praise and worship.